It is the privilege and joy of the handmaids of the precious blood to bring to you a spiritual conference given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin's conferences have proved to be of invaluable inspiration to priests, religious, and laity alike, particularly in these days of unrest and turmoil. Father Hardin is professor of systematic theology at the Jesuit School of Theology, Loyola University, Chicago. Father conducts a course in Catholic higher education at St. John's University in Jamaica, New York. He is a well-known author, lecturer, and consultant to various national religious and educational enterprises, and is renowned as a retreat master and spiritual director. Father Hardin is the author of the Catholic Catechism, a contemporary catechism written according to the norms established by the Holy See in the new General Catechetical Directory. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Why Should We Pray? Father Hardin.
We are reflecting on the subject of prayer, and we have so far seen the meaning of prayer, where what we said was mainly directed to the mind, which answers to the question of what something is. But we know that prayer is not something we merely think about or speculate on. It is something we are to do. And consequently, we wish to address ourselves in the present conference to motivating the will, where we ask the question, why? So the title of the present conference is, Why Pray? If, as we know, prayer is so universal in believing mankind, almost describing believing mankind, and is so much insisted upon in Christian revelation, it must be important. It is not only important, it is indispensable. And the reason it is indispensable is because it answers to the two most fundamental statements we can make about God and ourselves. So we ask once more, why pray? We must pray because God is God, and because we are we. This is not a clever phrase. It is at the heart of human existence and the bedrock of our faith. What I would like to do is to briefly recapitulate and go over each of these two fundamental statements. We pray because God is God, and because we are we. So we begin by asking, who is God? Reason, and especially faith, tell us that God is the absolutely necessary being, whose necessity is not only the obvious one of answering to the needs of our philosophy as a kind of footnote to our logic, where we say there must be a God to explain the universe. Well, that's a kind of utilitarian necessity. We then would need to postulate a God to explain why anything exists. No, it is deeper than that. God is that being who cannot not be. The profoundest and yet the clearest expression of who is God. He has to be, or for us who have a past tense, he had to be. He cannot not have existed. He alone, otherwise than all the rest of the universe, including little we, he alone cannot not have been. In other words, there cannot have been nothing. All the rest of the world need not have existed. We and everything else but God can best be defined as unnecessary beings. But a being must be. That being is God. By contrast, then, with the rest of the universe, it need not have been, and that for the best of reasons. Time was, and that's what time is, when it was not. Time began when the world began. God is timeless. And what was not, clearly, need not be. This God wants us, unnecessary, intelligent beings, to acknowledge him, the only necessary being. In a word, he wants us to pay attention to him as God. How soon we learn that we want people to pay attention to us. Watch a child of 6 months or of 3 years. I've done it. And I have since both spoken about and written on it. Depending on its temperament, it may go for 5 minutes or 10, but not much longer, before it makes a fuss or a noise or does something to attract attention from its mother, a responsive word, even a rebuke or a caress, and silence for another 5 or 10 minutes. Then the sequence starts again. As we grow out of infancy into adulthood, we prolong these silences, but not much. How we want, because we need, to have people periodically, but regularly, pay attention to us. And how dark life becomes if we feel that this fundamental need of our being, having people pay attention to us, is not satisfied. Through all of this, God is telling us that he too wants, not because he needs, but he definitely wants us to pay attention to him, to his existence, to know that he's around, to who he is. In a word, he wants us to worship him by our adoration, which can be simplified into saying, adoration is worship by paying attention to God. Our Christian faith goes far beyond reason to tell us that God is not only necessary being, but in his own nature, an eternal, loving, triune society. God, though perfect unity, is a plurality. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Anticipated in the Old Covenant and amplified in the New. This is the image of a God whom God defines, defining himself in John's writings as love. He is at once all beautiful and holy, all powerful and all knowing, all perfect, an all-embracing of every attribute to which the human heart can respond. And he is that love not only because of what he does for us in being loving. He is that God and would have been had he never made the world, because he shares this infinity, each of the persons, with two others. You see, even God must have within himself someone else with whom he shares. He is not only loving, he is love. So that he wants us to give him not only our attention, which is adoration, but our affection, which is love. To then not only adore him, but love him, knowing that all other loves derive from his infinity, as they also converge, if they are valid, in his own divine heart, which as the God-man, he now makes it so easy for us to love. So much for the first answer to why we must pray, because God is who he is. But our second reason why we should pray is because we are we. This means many things, but especially these. Why pray? Because we are in constant and sometimes in desperate need. Great. That's why we are in need. This is the divine strategy to bring us to pray. We then must pray to obtain from the God who could have planned it otherwise, but did not, Let's pause here just for a moment. Talk about being divinely shrewd, or we like to think divinely cunning. Lord, why did you do it this way? Could he not have given us all that we need? He being the author of the need, all of a sudden, in one burst of generosity, of course, but he deliberately has withheld. Do we hear that? He has deliberately kept back, not given, many things that we need. How do we know we need them? Because we've got desires. How do we know those needs are not satisfied? Because the desires are still unfulfilled. Talk about being cunning. Now clearly, he has withheld so many things which our heart tells us we need. Not because he does not want to give them to us. Oh no! But because he wants us to ask him for them in a thousand ways. Talk about a tantalizing God. Gives us desires, withholds their fulfillment, until, and what is more important, unless we ask to have them fulfilled. We need health. We need strength. We need courage. We need prudence. We need self-control. We need patience. We need love and understanding. We need light in how to handle difficult situations. We need trust to face the future. And so all of us have our own thousands of needs, all divinely planted, not merely permitted, planted by God, in order that, being aware of the need, we might do the obvious thing that faith tells us we should. Lord, look at me.
Please turn over to side B.